It's April 6, 2011. This is Charles Chandler, the presiding officer in the FRM matter, pursuant to an order of the New Hampshire Secretary of State of October 5, 2010. We are on the record taking testimony today from Mr. Frank Giacoumis. Mr. Giacoumis testified in these proceedings on December the 10th, I believe it was, 2010. There was a technical glitch in the recording process so that his testimony was not, in fact, recorded for posterity. And Mr. Giacoumis has very graciously agreed to return today to recount that which he testified to back in December. Mr. Giacoumis is here, but we also have present Attorney Forster and Attorney Spill. Attorney Forster, Attorney Spill, do we have any preliminary matters before Mr. Giacoumis testifies?
I do. I have two pieces of evidence to offer to you. I believe you remember former Director of Security Mark Connolly had a couple of statements, and you asked me to have a conversation with him, not by email, that he did in fact write these statements. And we also, Mr. Connolly also had these statements notarized.
Okay. The notarization was done at my request. Is that fair to say?
Correct.
Okay. Would you present those to me? Let the record show that the attestation of Mr. Connolly was done, indicating that his statements were completed truthfully and accurately and under oath. And that will be marked. I want that marked as number 137, please.
The last piece of evidence I have here is a draft of a subpoena that was drafted in August of 2002 by the Bureau of Securities. It's a subpoena for records from Financial Resources and Assistance. It wasn't actually issued. I believe that the documents they were looking for were produced without the need of a subpoena. However, I wanted you to see this subpoena draft because it does show, in the documents to be produced, it'll show what the Bureau was looking for, and it'll lead you to the inference that we were not looking for secured mortgages. It'll help you understand the position of the Bureau as far back as 2002, and I wanted to present that to you.
I'll accept that. And then once again, let's be absolutely clear, the rules of evidence do not apply in this proceeding, and I can attach whatever probative value I deem appropriate to whatever is presented, and I accept the unsigned copy of a draft subpoena dated August 1, 2002. And I'm going to ask that be marked as 138. Is there anything else, either Mr. Porcy or Mr. Spill?
No, sir.
Mr. Giacoumis?
Yes, sir.
My position is that you were under oath time you testified in December and remain so, these proceedings having remained open. Do you understand that to be the case?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Spill or Mr. Porcy, proceed as you wish.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Giacoumis. My name is Jeff Spill, of Bureau of Securities Regulation, as you know. And I'd like to apologize on behalf of the Bureau for our technical glitch where we failed to record your prior testimony, so that's why you're here today.
That's all right. No problem.
I don't expect there to be any different questions today than were posed to you back on December 10th, 2010, but I do want to reiterate those questions for the record. And would start by asking you to recite, if you could, your educational background and work history.
Yes. I graduated from New Hampshire College in 1968 with a Bachelor of Business Management degree, and New Hampshire College is now known as Southern New Hampshire University. In 1968 until 1971, I was an assistant national bank examiner for the Comptroller of the Currency. From 1971 to 1974, I was an independent insurance examiner for the New Hampshire Insurance Department. From 1974 to 1984, I was the supervisor of securities. And from 1984 to 2008, I was a securities and corporate specialist for the law firm of Shan Finney Bass and Green. I retired in January of 2008. With regard to my duties as a national bank examiner for the Comptroller of the Currency, I assisted in the examination of national banks in all of the New England states. My duties included the review of loan documentation and accompanying documents, and assisted with various other duties as designated by the chief examiner. At the New Hampshire Insurance Department, I, as an independent examiner, I participated in the examinations of insurance companies located in New Hampshire for compliance with New Hampshire laws and regulations. Following that, I was asked to be the supervisor of securities, and I was in charge of all aspects of securities regulation, including the regulation and exemption of securities, licensing of broker-dealers, dealers, issuer dealers, investment advisors, and their agents. With regard to securities regulation registration, that included the approval or disapproval for the sale of stocks and bonds, private placements, and mutual funds in the state of New Hampshire. I also wrote opinions and made interpretations of the statutes regarding exemptions and the approval of securities in New Hampshire. And I also had the duty of regulating carnivals and bail bondsmen. Sheehan Finney Bass and Green, I prepared documents to organize corporations, limited and general partnerships, LLCs, trust companies, educational institutions, and assisted in the preparation of documents to organize banks and bank holding companies in New Hampshire and other states. I assisted in the preparation and review of documents to file securities applications with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, the New York Stock Exchange, I also participated in the review and preparation of IPOs, director benefit and stock option plans, mergers, acquisitions, tender offers, and company takeovers. I also assisted in the preparation and review of documents for the acquisition and merger of New Hampshire banks. And I also participated in hearings held at the New Hampshire Banking Department regarding those kinds of transactions. I also assisted in the preparation and review of documents to organize banks or merge banks as filed with the Federal Reserve, Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, and the New Hampshire Banking Commission. I also assisted in the preparation and review of proxy statements for listed companies on the New York and American stock exchanges. I also prepared director's minutes, prepared director SEC forms 3, 4, and 5 filings regarding the disclosure and reporting of director security holdings of public companies. I prepared various blue sky filings for the registration of securities, prepared documentation and exemption letters for private placement filings. I also did a review and analysis of real estate investments and other offerings for the state of New Hampshire retirement system. I also prepared liquor licensing applications for New Hampshire businesses, hotels, restaurants, and franchises. I also took care of stock issuances, stock transfers, and stock cancellations, and updated stock transfer books, and other related duties. But I guess that's about it.
That's an extensive work history, and I want to congratulate you on this distinguished career.
Thank you.
You obviously have extensive knowledge in the field of security regulation. Back in 1974 to 1984, when you were supervisor of the Securities Bureau, how many personnel were there?
It was myself and my secretary. There were two people in the department.
And prior to 1974, when you were with the, did you call it a division then, or bureau?
A division. It was actually the stepsister of the insurance department.
But it was contained within the same department?
Yes.
Okay. And who was the supervisor of the division before you?
Kinsley Moses Batchelder.
And how many personnel were with the division during his supervisory term?
Kinsley and his secretary.
So did you work for Kinsley Batchelder for a period of time before you became supervisor?
Yes, I was asked to take over the division, and Frank Whelan asked me to do that. And I worked for about a year before Kinsley retired, and he taught me the, the ropes of the department.
Okay. Did he have a position that you're aware of with respect to collateralized loans, whether they were securities or not?
Generally, collateralized loans were not securities.
Was that Kingsley Batchelor's position?
Yes.
Okay. Do you recall a case that you, I guess, contributed in called Manchester Bank versus Connecticut Bank and Trust Company?
Yes.
Okay, that, for the record, that case reporting is, I believe, already an exhibit.
It is. If I may, that's exhibit number 55.
The case was decided on September 24th, 1980. And you, correct me if I'm wrong, submitted an affidavit to assist the court in interpreting whether or not certain financial products or securities or not. Do you recall that?
I do.
Okay. And that case involved loan participations?
Yes.
Okay, and what was your opinion as to those loan participations?
No loan participations were not securities.
Okay. Prior to that time, September 1980, when this case was decided, had the division, to your knowledge, considered loan participations to be securities?
Never.
Okay. I want to call your attention to 1981. Did you work on amending the New Hampshire securities laws at that time?
Yes.
Why? Was there a reason why the laws were being amended at that time, in 1981?
Well, at that time, there was a hodgepodge of statutes all over the United States with state securities bureaus. They all had their own way of regulating securities. And for maybe 10 or 15 years, Lewis Law, I believe, was the fellow that was spearheading the drive to get a uniform act throughout the United States. And we were involved in a lot of correspondence with the National Association of Securities Administrators regarding the implementation and adoption of a uniform act. And we looked at it, and we thought it was a good idea. What it did principally was to make uniform applications for securities registrations throughout the United States. And I worked with Martin Mitchell and Tom Colantuono and Commissioner Frank Whalen in reviewing the statute and making those changes to the Uniform Act that we considered appropriate for the state of New Hampshire.
Did who was Frank Whalen?
Frank Whalen was the Commissioner of Insurance.
And who was Tom Colantuono?
Tom Colantuono was an Assistant Attorney General in the Consumer Protection Division, I think.
And who was Martin Mitchell?
He was the Assistant Commissioner of Insurance.
Okay. Did Frank Whalen have a particular way of addressing the issue of amendment of the securities laws, to your knowledge?
His interest was in protecting the citizens of the state of New Hampshire. And if we had to make changes in the Uniform Act, he was wholeheartedly for it.
And did New Hampshire utilize a Uniform Act as a template for its own law?
Yes.
What act was that? Is that the
Uniform Act? The Uniform Act, yes.
Is that the 56 Uniform Securities Act?
Yes.
Did New Hampshire adopt the 56 Uniform Act in total?
No. There were slight changes to the act, and in particular, the section that we're concerned about today, which was that original collateralized loans were not securities. Secondary collateralized loans to the public or to investors may have been securities, but first you would have to do an analysis as to what that particular transaction involved.
Okay, let me take you back. I know it's been a number of years, but let me take you back if I can. It's 1981, Mr. Batchelor's gone. Did you consider his views in writing the new statute?
Oh, absolutely. Kinsley was one of the most knowledgeable people in securities and banking that I knew. He was a Dartmouth graduate from the business school, and he was also an incorporator of the New Hampshire Savings Bank. He was a well-read, very intelligent man, and was involved in securities for years and years and years.
So it's fair to say that he had an extensive financial industry knowledge and background.
Yes.
Did you, with respect to collateralized loans, did you incorporate his views into the new statute?
Yes. Okay. That was the theme of the department with regard to those kinds of loans.
Okay. Now, when I ask you about collateralized loans, are we talking about any collateral, real estate, or chattel?
Yes. Yes, you are. Any collateralized loan that has the terms, has a term to it, an interest rate, a repayment schedule, generally were not securities.
Okay. And during that time period, when you were supervisor, did you believe that you had the jurisdiction to regulate the origination of loans?
The origination of loans? No.
Okay. Did you have the personnel to regulate the origination of loans?
No.
Did you audit the entities that originated loans?
No.
What was Martin Mitchell's role in writing the new law?
I think he took the lead as Assistant Insurance Commissioner.
And what was your role?
And it was more advisory.
So Martin would come to you with questions?
Yes.
And how about Frank Colantuono? What was his role?
Tom Colantuono?
Yes.
He worked, I think, more with Martin Mitchell than he did with me. And I had an occasional conversation with him, but it was more of discussions.
The new law was passed in 1981 and became effective in 1982, is that right?
I believe that's right.
Okay. Did the Attorney General's Office Consumer Protection Division have a role in that body of law?
In other words, not that I'm aware of.
Did they have a role to play in the enforcement of securities laws?
Only when we referred what we thought were violations.
Mr. Spill, can I interrupt for just a minute?
Sure.
I want to be clear. You asked the question you asked before this immediate one was the new law passed in 1981. Is that correct? When you said new law, let's be absolutely clear in the record that what you meant is the New Hampshire securities law.
Yes.
You're not talking about any federal statute. You're talking about a statute that governs the state of New Hampshire. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Please continue.
Was it written in the law, the securities law, that passed in 1981, that the Attorney General's office would have a role in the enforcement of the laws?
I'm not aware of it, and I don't remember
that
particular section.
Okay.
But I know what we used to do is if we got complaints about securities, we referred them to the Consumer Protection Division.
Okay. And did that practice carry over beyond the passage of the new law?
Yes.
1981?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The Attorney General's office also initiated examinations, too, if they get any complaints. I remember one particular case, I think it was down in Derry or Londonderry, New Hampshire, and it was called Circle of Gold, and it was simply a pyramid scheme. And I think that was initiated by the Attorney General's office.
Did the Attorney General's office get involved in fraud investigations?
Yes.
And I believe, for the record, your affidavit that was attached to the decision for Manchester Bank case has already been introduced into evidence.
It has. It has. I have reviewed it.
And just to be clear, it was the view of the, it was your view when addressing the Federal District Court in that case that loan participations were not securities.
That's correct.
Okay. And never had been up to that point.
Yes.
Okay. I have no further questions.
I have a few. Yeah, but Attorney Forster, do you have any to add to Mr. Spills?
Just maybe one or two,
okay.
If I may.
You may.
I understand that Mr. Batzelger, you took over his position in around 1974.
Yes.
How long had he worked there before? Do you know?
Approximately 20 years or so.
And is it your understanding that he treated securities as you speak about today, collateralized promissory notes the same way for
yes.
20 years?
Yes.
I have no further questions.
Okay.
I just have one clarifying question.
Please do.
You said, I think, just so the record is crystal clear, that principle was carried over into the new law. Was that reflected in the home mortgage exemption?
Yes.
Okay.
I have a few questions that go back to my notes of your December 10th testimony. My recollection from my notes is that you spoke in that testimony of Roland Roberge, who was
the bank commissioner.
The banking commissioner. Is it fair to say that you testified at that time that he was very jealous about protecting his jurisdiction for banking?
Yes.
And is it also fair to say that the implication of that observation of Mr. Roberge was that, and I think your words were, banking had jurisdiction of notes tied to mortgages?
Correct.
Okay. So I was right when I quoted you in that fashion in December. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Is it also fair to say that back in December, and I have a quote here, and you've reiterated it this morning, but I want to be sure that I'm correct, simply stated, promissory notes tied to mortgages are not securities.
Yes.
Okay. You said one thing this morning that piqued my interest. You said many things that piqued my interest, but one thing in particular. You made a statement that secondary collateralized loans might have been securities. What did you mean by that?
Well, for instance, if you have a piece of property and you want to borrow $20,000 and you come to me and you say, I will give you a mortgage on my property for that $20,000 loan, we will have an interest rate, terms, repayment schedule, and so forth in order to secure the loan, and I will give you my property as collateral. That is not a security. I take your note and I need money. So I will go to five of my friends and say, I've got a good interest rate on this mortgage that I'm holding. I need $20,000. So I'm going to give you five people $4,000 a piece. I get a good interest rate, say, of 7%. I'll give you 4% if you lend me this money. Now, if they agree, all right, then that may be a security, because they're depending on me to get the money from you and to distribute that interest rate to the holders of the of the interests that I sold. I didn't sell a mortgage. I sold an interest.
If I were to characterize what that which you have just described as a secondary market transaction, would you agree with that observation?
Yes.
So is it then fair to say that if promissory notes secured by mortgages not sold on the secondary market are clearly not securities?
Yes.
But it's a possibility that if promissory notes secured by markets are thereafter sold on the secondary market or bundled to be sold on the secondary market, there is a possibility they could be securities. Do I have a clear understanding of that position?
Yes.
Okay. I have nothing further. Mr. Giacoumas, I greatly appreciate your coming here today, going back on the record, and reiterating but also clarifying for me your testimony of December 10th. I will tell you, your testimony is highly probative for me. So again, you've done a service to the people of the state of New Hampshire by going out of your way to be here today. Thank you.
I thank you.
Thank you. Is there anything else to come before the hearing this morning?
Oh, sir. No, sir.
We are adjourned.